I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Pleasure to have you with us for hour number two and the final one for another week. And we still hope to be able to connect with Navidomskis, who is on a houseboat somewhere in Lake Powell. He said he was going to look for a canyon somewhere just to go hide away, I think, for most of the week. His boys are there, Mickey and Finn, and Gail's with him, and they were going to do some fishing. And we should get a full report on how things are going down there. So we look forward to making that connection via the SkyCall satellite phone, by the way. But first, we are ready here, I think, if I can hit all the right buttons to bring in our connection with Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources. The only guest we have, by the way, on a regular basis that has her own theme song. Little George Michael, you got to have Faith. Faith, are you there?
I am, and I am just so honored every time you play this song.
Gives me an excuse to play songs from my childhood anyway.
But it's a good one.
It's great to connect with you today. By the way, Bob and Mark are still with us in Cedar City this morning. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be on with you.
Good morning. We're enjoying the cool weather of southern Utah.
Yeah, cool probably compared to where you guys hang out in St. George, but much warmer than we're having here in the northern part of the state. It was 50 degrees when I rode in this morning on the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you guys keep getting snow up there, don't you?
We had snow at, what was it, Faith? About 8,000 feet, I think, yesterday?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Mount Timpanogos had a new dusting. We got a couple of reports from listeners down there. Let me ask the guys in Cedar City, have you ever had a bear encounter in the Utah wilds?
I haven't in the Utah wilds, only in Wyoming and Montana.
Same for me. They're few and far between, especially in southern Utah.
Oh, you know, I do have a story. I forgot this long ago. At Yankee Meadows, I didn't have a direct bear encounter, but there had been a mauling at Yankee Meadows just a couple or two or three days before we went there to camp. And we went in there and set up our tent, which is a really popular area for camping. Not another single soul anywhere to be seen. We have our camp set up. We're there, and it just started feeling wrong. So we broke camp and went home and then found out there had been a bear in the area.
And you just didn't get the text, right?
I did. I didn't get the memo.
Everybody else knew about it. That's why you had the whole place to yourself. Not bad.
That's right. I always thought I was pretty lucky there for a moment.
Yeah. Those kinds of stories, though, float around every so often, Faith, and once in a while we get a rogue bear story that tends to give everybody the eebie-jeebies and keeps them away from camping, which I think is too bad.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? And it is interesting because I'm still fairly new to the division, but it's shocking how many people have no idea there's bears in Utah. We get that basically every summer, and then you know, last summer we had a couple incidents where, you know, some young boys were scratched and one was bit by a bear. So they're definitely out there, even if we're not seeing them. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the messages we're trying to share. If you're out and about, even if you're not seeing them, you know, it doesn't mean they're not there. But if you're going to, you know, if you are camping or hiking or whatever, you know, you're typically fine if you take kind of those necessary precautions.
The one that most people can remember because it was so shocking was, and I think it might have been a scout, but a young kid was actually pulled out of his tent by a bear. And it's usually a juvenile bear, it seems like.
Yeah, so, yeah, we actually, the one last summer, there was a boy that was just one of the boys, he was scratched, and it was a Boy Scout. And, yeah, usually they're like, that one I think was 2 to 3 years old. And luckily that, you know, both of those incidents weren't fatal. But, yeah, there was the fatal incident about 10 years ago with a young boy. So, you know, it definitely happens, and it's definitely something to just be aware of so you can stay safe.
My wife tells me she is done. Becky says she's done with primitive camping altogether. She refuses to sleep on the ground anymore. So it will always be in a trailer or in a nice camp spot somewhere, you know, or a lodge, I guess, where we're looking out the window at the wildlife that are going by. But I remember a time when we went up to some primitive camping just outside of Jackson Hole. And she saw this interesting little box that was at each campsite. And she was asking my brother, what are those for? My brother lived in Jackson Hole for more than a decade. He said, oh, those are bear boxes. And she said, mm-hmm. What are those for? Well, that's to put things in so the bears can't get to it. And she immediately wanted to find another place to play for the next 3 days because she was scared
to
death. Yeah, scared to death to be in an area with bears. But learning from the bear box, bear-proofing your food and supplies and keeping a clean area, that pretty much are the number one and two things to think of when you're going out.
It is, yep, exactly. And you know, typically, you know, with some of the other states, they do have grizzlies, which are a lot more aggressive. We just have black bears currently in Utah, which normally, you know, they are scared of you, and they'll do anything they can to avoid people. So that's why most people don't see them. But the instances that there are issues or there's conflicts that we've seen in the last couple of years is typically because, you know, there's food maybe left out or something that's kind of drawn the bear to that area. So, that's kind of the number one safety recommendation we give is just, you know, bear-proof your food. Don't leave any items out. You know, don't dump any bacon grease, things like that from the grill just on the ground. Make sure you're properly disposing of those things. A good recommendation is if there's not like a dumpster at the campsite that you can keep it away from your garbage and things away from your tent, to just lock it in your car, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of the biggest recommendation.
And I'm guilty as charged back when I was first taking my young family out camping. We would dump bacon grease, usually from breakfast, from cooking bacon, which can leave a lot of grease in the pan. I was guilty of putting it on the ground, but it's just a calling card for bears that you really can't blame them for coming down. They're hungry.
I know. See, even bears like bacon. Everybody likes bacon.
You're right about that. Yeah.
But
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, anything that's, especially with bacon, I mean, you can smell that stuff for miles and it'll, you know, linger in your house for days. And so anything that is pungent, especially like that with different meats, and some items that people don't even think about is like your deodorant, your toothpaste. You know, we actually recommend not keeping those if you are in a tent. Just, you know, anything that can be kind of smelly that has more of that odor that might attract a bear. Those are kind of the items that we're recommending.
Does that mean you leave all your teenage boys at home?
No, those exactly. Odors will repel bears. I don't have any fear of bears in my basement. When my kids were teenagers, or they'd have a sleepover, because I wouldn't even go down there. Pretty gross with all those teenage kids taking their shoes off at night. Hey, one of the other things that I wanted to point out was, even if you're being careful enough, and we always bring our garbage can that we put some liners in, and then we can control our garbage bags, but you want to secure that garbage can or your coolers as well. Just having food in the cooler doesn't necessarily mean it's not attractive to a bear. If they have found food in a cooler before, they will find it again.
Exactly. And that's one thing, you know, like I said, bears are typically going to try and avoid people. But if they find food, and especially if they find it in an area repeatedly, you know, that does kind of change that behavior and they become more aggressive. If they think that something's threatening what they're you know, trying to take away their food. And so, yeah, definitely if you've heard reports of bears at a campground, you know, that is something to keep in mind, is make sure you're keeping your coolers in your car if they're not bear proof, which, you know, a lot of people don't have bear proof coolers and equipment here in Utah. Cause they just don't think about it, or yeah, they don't realize there's bears. Yeah.
We've only got about 90 seconds here left, but let's talk about what happens if you do encounter a bear, starting with stand your ground. You don't want to back up. You don't want to lay down and play dead. That used to be the number one thing. They would say just drop and play dead. What do you tell people to do now?
Yeah, so this is specific to black bears, which, like we said, they're a lot less aggressive than grizzly bears. I think the guidance for grizzly bears is different. But for black bears, which we have in Utah, yeah, exactly. You don't want to back up or lay down or play dead. You just want to stay calm and kind of make yourself bigger and give the bear a chance to leave. Because like I said, typically they're going to be afraid of you. And so just kind of make noise, you know, but kind of keep your cool and just make yourself big. Don't try and run away or climb a tree. You know, they're going to outrun and outclimb you every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is just kind of know their behavior. If they're standing up or grunting or moaning, usually that doesn't mean they're being aggressive. They're just curious, you know, and they're trying to get a better look or smell or something. They're just kind of interested. So, you know, don't freak out if they're kind of grunting and moaning and standing up. Just, you know, keep your cool, stand your ground, make yourself big. And then we always say, if it does end up attacking, you know, definitely always fight back.
Yeah.
You know, and use anything you have.
One of the first things you'll see a bear do typically, as far as behavior goes, is stand up and put that snout in the air to see what they can smell. And that'll be the
yep.
first place they decide to head. That's why we don't want you to keep, you know, your food and things out around the campground, because it's just natural for them to seek out food. And bacon
totally.
Bacon does smell pretty good in the great outdoors. Faith,
yeah, people, I can relate.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, me too. I'm actually looking forward to that for the first time in a couple of weeks as we get away for a weekend. All right, Faith, that information is available, by the way, on our Facebook page if you want to go there. It's also on the division's Facebook page or on their regular website for the division, which is just wildlife.utah.gov, as always. Faith Jolly, we appreciate you not just joining us this week, but always putting us in touch with all of the other folks that keep us safe in the outdoors during the year.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
We will take a quick break. We'll come back in just a minute. Stay with us here on KSL.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Our thanks again to Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources for helping to get this final hour underway today and talking about bear safety, just in case you're planning on getting out and about with your group, and we hope that's the case. But if you've got somebody who's a little jittery about bears in the wild, at least there are some things to think about to keep you and everyone in the group safe. But again, it's one of those days, I think, one of those moments in your outdoor life that you'll always remember if you do see one in the outdoors. And, Russ, I'll always remember the grizzly that walked through camp when we were up on the yeah. river in Alaska. That one will live with yeah. me forever.
The cool thing was he just kept right on going. He could care less about us. But my number one rule in bears is don't leave the donuts on the table.
Yeah, right.
Mine is never be the slowest in the group.
That too.
Right.
I've heard that said so many times. The one thing you want to make sure of yeah. with your friends that you take in the outdoors, particularly primitive camping, is that you can run faster than the rest of the group.
and that'll make sure that you're not the first to be taken. I don't want to scare anybody about it. The sightings of black bears in Utah, very, very rare. And as Faith said a minute ago, a lot of people don't even realize there are bears in the state of Utah. So let's talk now about what's been going on down in Cedar City and give the folks some ideas. We're going to hold you guys through for another segment after a news update on the half hour. You guys were out late last night. Where were you? Brian had, I think, taken star photos.
Yeah, we came up to Cedar yesterday afternoon, and one of the things that we wanted to highlight of this area, the Cedar City, Iron County area, is that Cedar Breaks National Monument is an international dark sky park, and the skies were brilliant. Fortunately, Mark is a good photographer and was able to get some really good shots last night.
You know, we were out right on the rim of Cedar Breaks National Monument. That's about 10,300 feet, and the moon is gone right now. It's that phase. And so there was no light to interfere with those star shots, and it was just gorgeous out there.
32 degrees.
Yeah, it was a little chilly. We had our gloves on and our coats, but boy, was it beautiful.
I need to pick your brain a little bit, Mark. I think I mentioned when we were down at Bryce, I'm sure I did, one of my great memories of going to Ruby's and staying there was when I took a kid that I worked with in 2008 in Beijing, China during the Olympics. And he came to the U.S. for the first time, came to Utah for the first time, and I wanted to take him down where he could see the night sky. And I so badly, and he was expecting to be able to see the Milky Way the way you see it in good photography pictures, which, of course, is impossible to do, I think, with the naked eye in most cases. And I just did not know how to use my camera properly to capture it the way we see it when somebody who knows what they're doing actually posts a photo.
So just real quickly, the simple techniques are that you're going to put your camera on a tripod and you're going to do a long exposure. You're going to open up your camera aperture and just allow a lot of light in for about 15 to 20, sometimes 25 seconds.
Hmm. It's that simple.
It's mostly that simple. And then there's some tricks to it. But.
Well, I had all the right settings. I just can't see without my glasses on, and I was a little bit of out of focus.
you talk about dark skies. I don't think people realize how dark it actually gets out there. We could not see our hands directly in front of our face.
Oh, yeah. It gets so incredibly. And we have 9 international dark sky destinations in Utah. We have more than most other areas in the world. And so we have a lot of, in fact, I think the very first international dark sky destination is in Utah. I believe it's Natural Bridges, but I could be wrong on that. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. Bryce Canyon, Capitol Reef. I mean, the list goes on. This is a great place to see the stars.
Here's the sad thing to admit on the radio in front of everybody, but the last trip I made to Brian Head was when we met you. Russ and I came down to be with you, Bob, and take a little snowmobile ride. Russ, how many years ago was that?
Oh, man.
Long time. Bob might remember.
2004, maybe.
Wow.
No, that was 2010.
So 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Seems like
I remember
20
that
to
was.
Me.
That's when we opened the Grand Lodge at Brian Head back then, the year it opened.
That's right.
On that trip. Yeah, one of our first trips was back in, I don't know, this dates us, a long time ago.
Well, that drive up the canyon, just so people know, if they haven't done it, from Cedar City is how far?
Well, if you go up from Cedar City to Cedar Breaks, it's about 30 miles. You go up Highway 14, which is a scenic byway, and you hook up on 148, which is another scenic byway that crosses through Cedar Breaks. Or if you go through Parowan, about the same distance. So from Cedar City, it's about the same distance either way.
We're going to talk more about this in the next segment because we'll have more time. But I think you guys will agree with me. That part of the state is probably the most bypassed and forgotten about because people are either headed north to the ski resorts or south to the national parks, and they blow right past all the things they could see.
It's true. And what we like about the Cedar City, Brian Head area, if you will, is that you can go different directions, you know, on the compass and find some incredible things, but you're about 60 minutes from Zion National Park. You're 90 minutes away from Bryce Canyon National Park, 30 minutes away from Cedar Breaks National Monument. You've got some great lakes for fishing, Navajo Lake, Panguitch Lake, some streams up here that are great for fishing as well. There's a lot from Cedar City that you can do, and we can pick up some more of that in the next segment.
Let's do that. We need to break for news on the half hour, so we'll do that next. We'll come back. We'll spend a little more time, get a little more specific about some ideas on things to do down there. And the reason this is so important this year, and I'm sure the reason Bob and Mark are focusing on it, is because this could be a tough season for businesses down there who rely on the Shakespeare Festival, which brings a lot of money into that part of the state, is not going to be happening this year because of the coronavirus. So after a news update, we'll talk more about it. Make sure you stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors coming up as we head into the final half hour.